on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Grammar Girl here. I'm Mignon Fogarty, and you can think of me as your friendly guide to the English language. We talk about writing, history, rules, and cool stuff. Today, we'll talk about a word that describes how a lot of people might be feeling while they're staying at home. And we'll talk about when you use hyphens and even an occasional apostrophe in the phrase, thank you. With some communities in rebooted lockdown conditions and movement restricted everywhere else, no one is posting pictures of their sourdough. Zoom cocktail parties have lost their novelty. Netflix can only release so many new series. The news seems worse every day, yet we compulsively scroll through it. We get distracted by social media, yet have a pile of books unread. We keep meaning to go outside, but somehow never find the time. We are bored, listless, afraid, and uncertain. What is this feeling? Well, John Cassian, a monk and theologian, wrote in the early 5th century about an ancient Greek emotion called acedia. A mind seized by this emotion is, quote, horrified at where he is, disgusted with his room. It does not allow him to stay still in his cell or to devote any effort to reading, unquote. He feels, quote, such bodily listlessness and yawning hunger as though he were worn by a long journey or a prolonged fast. Next, he glances about and sighs that no one is coming to see him. Constantly in and out of his cell, he looks at the sun as if it were too slow in setting, unquote. This sounds eerily familiar, yet the name that so aptly describes our current state was lost to time and translation. Etymologically, acedia joins the negative prefix a to the Greek noun kedos, which means care, concern, or grief. It sounds like apathy, but Cassian's description shows that acedia is much more daunting and complex than that. Cassian and other early Christians called acedia the noonday demon and sometimes described it as a train of thought, but they didn't think it affected city dwellers or even monks in communities. Rather, acedia arose directly out of the spatial and social constrictions that a solitary monastic life necessitates. These conditions generate a strange combination of listlessness, undirected anxiety, and inability to concentrate. Together, these make up the paradoxical emotion of acedia. Evagrius of Pontus included acedia among the 8 trains of thought that needed to be overcome by devout Christians. Among these, acedia was considered the most insidious. It attacked only after monks had conquered the sins of gluttony, fornication, avarice, sadness, anger, vainglory, and pride. Cassian, a student of Evagrius, translated the list of sins into Latin. A later 6th century Latin edit gave us the 7 deadly sins. In this list, acedia was subsumed into sloth, a word we now associate with laziness. Acedia appears throughout monastic and other literature of the Middle Ages. It was a key part of the emotional vocabulary of the Byzantine Empire and can be found in all sorts of lists of passions or emotions in medical literature and lexicons, as well as theological treatises and sermons. It first appeared in English in print in 1607 to describe a state of spiritual listlessness, but it's barely used today. As clinical psychology has reclassified emotions and mental states, terms like melancholy can sound archaic and moralizing. Emotional expressions, norms, and scripts change over time and vary between cultures. They mark out constellations of bodily sensations, patterns of thought, and perceived social causes or effects. Since these constellations are culturally or socially specific, as societies change, so do the emotions in their repertoire. With the decline of theological moralizing, not to mention monastic influence, acedia has largely disappeared from secular vocabularies. Now, the pandemic and governmental response to it create social conditions that approximate those of desert monks. No demons, perhaps, but social media offers a barrage of bad or misleading news. Social distancing limits physical contact. Lockdown constricts physical space and movement. Working from home or having lost work entirely both upend routines and habits. In these conditions, perhaps it's time to bring back that term. Reviving the language of acedia is important to our experience in two ways. First, it distinguishes the complex of emotions brought on by enforced isolation, constant uncertainty, and the barrage of bad news from clinical terms like depression or anxiety. Saying, "I'm feeling acedia," could legitimize feelings of listlessness and anxiety as valid emotions in our current context without inducing guilt that others have things worse. Second, and more importantly, the feelings associated with physical isolation are exacerbated by emotional isolation, that terrible sense that this thing I feel is mine alone. When an experience can be named, it can be communicated and even shared. Learning to express new or previously unrecognized constellations of feelings, sensations, and thoughts builds an emotional repertoire, which assists in emotional regulation. Naming and expressing experiences allows us to claim some agency in dealing with them. As we, like Kasian's desert monks, struggle with our own, quote, long, dark tea time of the soul, unquote, we can name this experience, acedia, which is now part of our emotional repertoire. That segment was written by Jonathan L. Zecker, a research fellow at Australian Catholic University. It was originally published at The Conversation and appears here under a Creative Commons license. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. I've been trying to figure out how to just find more time in my day. And you know what? Factor's ready-to-eat meals come to my door and are on the table in 2 minutes. No more grocery shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleanup. Creamy Parmesan chicken, turkey chili and zucchini with ancho lime crema. These chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals are delicious and take no time at all. Just heat them up and savor the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/grammar50 and use the code grammar50, 50, to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's the code grammar50 at factormeals.com/grammar50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box where your subscription is active.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Mignon. If you want to do more to hone your communication skills, then check out Think Fast, Talk Smart, produced by the Stanford Graduate School of Business and hosted by my friend and Stanford lecturer, Matt Abrahams. You may remember Matt from his interview on the show back in September when he shared his top tips for becoming a better writer and speaker. Think Fast, Talk Smart is his Webby award-winning podcast, which has been downloaded 41 million times and has been the number one career podcast in more than 95 countries. So you know it's worth your time. Whether you're making a wedding toast or presenting at work, strong speaking skills are critical to success in business and in life, which is why Matt sits down with experts every week to talk about the best tips to unlock your communication potential. Hear from pros like neuroscientist Andrew Huberman on how to manage speaking anxiety, speechwriter and best-selling author Dan Pink on how to take risks in your communication, and psychologist Kelly McGonigal on how to harness nervous energy to fuel powerful presentations. So what are you waiting for? Listen to Think Fast, Talk Smart every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And tell Matt I said hi. If you still have thank you notes to write from the holidays, you might be wondering whether to put a hyphen in thank you. I always get a lot of questions about hyphens when I do my AP style webinars, and it's not surprising because hyphens can be confusing. Sometimes you put a hyphen in thank you, and sometimes you don't. When thank is a verb, you don't need a hyphen. Examples would be, we thank you for inviting us to your holiday Zoom party, or simply, thank you for the gift. But when thank you is a modifier or a noun, it takes a hyphen. For example, in I still need to write a thank you note, you use a hyphen in thank you because it's modifying the noun note, a thank you note. And you also use a hyphen when thank you itself is a noun, as in sending you a hearty thank you for the presents. And nouns can be plural, so how do you make thank you plural? Well, it still takes a hyphen, but beyond that is a little tricky because style guides say different things. You always add an S. It sounds like thank yous, as in, I still owe people so many thank yous. The Chicago Manual of Style says to just add the S at the end, thank yous with a hyphen. But Associated Press Style adds an apostrophe before the S, thank yous, thank you, apostrophe S. That AP style is a little weird, but it's not the only case like that. It reminds me of do's and don'ts, which Chicago writes without an apostrophe in do's, and AP writes with an apostrophe in do's. So how you write thank yous depends on which style guide you follow. Or if you aren't required to follow a specific style guide, you can use whichever style seems best to you. Just pick one and be consistent. And if you'd like a little bit of word trivia, unthank is an obsolete word in English. It was both a verb and a noun. You could unthank someone, rescind your thanks. And as a noun, unthank meant something that caused offense or displeasure, or it could be a curse. It shows up in Chaucer's Reeve's Tale in this line about a horse that got loose. Unthank, come on his hand that bound him so, which is translated into modern English as curses come upon his hand that bound him so, or curses come upon his hand that tied him so carelessly. So get on with those thank you notes. If you have reservations, you can always unthank the people later. Remember that thank you takes a hyphen when it's modifying a noun, like notes in thank you notes, and it takes a hyphen when it's a singular or plural noun, as in, I hope you don't have too many thank yous left to write. Finally, I have a Familect story about a good kind of tired.
This is Sharon. I remember going on a hike with some friends, and when we were finished with the hike, we were very, very tired, but we also felt good about the mileage we'd done during the day. And so I came up with the word exhilarosted, which just feels so right to me between exhilarated and exhausted. And I wondered why that word maybe has never caught on, or maybe should catch on, because it really says it all in one word. I enjoy your program a lot.
Thanks for sharing your word, Sharon. If you want to tell me the story of a word your family made up, leave a voicemail at 83-321-4-GIRL. And remember to tell me the story behind the word, because the story is always the best part. That voicemail number is also in my email newsletter, which you can sign up for at quickanddirtytips.com. I'm Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl. Thanks to my producer, Nathan Semmes. And that's all. Thanks for listening. Hey, it's Mignon. If you want to do more to hone your communication skills, then check out Think Fast, Talk Smart, produced by the Stanford Graduate School of Business and hosted by my friend and Stanford lecturer, Matt Abrahams. You may remember Matt from his interview on the show back in September when he shared his top tips for becoming a better writer and speaker. Think Fast, Talk Smart is his Webby award-winning podcast, which has been downloaded 41 million times and has been the number one career podcast in more than 95 countries. So you know it's worth your time. Whether you're making a wedding toast or presenting at work, strong speaking skills are critical to success in business and in life, which is why Matt sits down with experts every week to talk about the best tips to unlock your communication potential. Hear from pros like neuroscientist Andrew Huberman on how to manage speaking anxiety, speechwriter and best-selling author Dan Pink on how to take risks in your communication, and psychologist Kelly McGonigal on how to harness nervous energy to fuel powerful presentations. So what are you waiting for? Listen to Think Fast, Talk Smart every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts, or on YouTube. And tell Matt I said hi.